This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, Sharp Money, VSiN, the sports betting network. We got you back. Of course, the White Sox losing streak continues. USA Brazil, we'll get you updated there. Dustin Sweetelson at the D, downtown Las Vegas. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles. Now, talking to athletes for 20-plus years, Dustin, I think you'll agree with me. Oftentimes, before we get on the air, we have a brief conversation with our guests. I think Brock Vereen might be the kindest. You can tell me. You've been producing forever. He might be the nicest athlete that you talk to before we say hi on the air. Is that facts?
Yeah, he almost kind of twists the situation around on me where, like, he's so friendly and so chipper, and I think I'm supposed to be, like, talking to him to set him up for the interview, but I think he's setting me up for the interview.
Yeah, I think so. Big Ten Network, College Football, CBS Sports Network, NFL analyst, at Brock Vereen on Twitter, of course, Minnesota Gopher. We'll talk about the new look Big Ten. He played in the league as well. How'd you like your little intro there, Brock?
I am not worthy of it. You guys are wonderful. I'm just a master manipulator. I got you right in my palm. If only you knew the evil I was capable of.
We'll ask your wife about that. Okay. We're going to get it. And you said you're excited, more excited about this season than you have been in a long time being college football. We'll get to the Big Ten in a second, but I randomly want to ask you about Brandon Ayuk because he's on that fifth year option. He wants to get paid. He's set to make about $14 million, and it seems like San Francisco might concede here and trade him. Yeah, I got him 1B. He's tremendous. He's well above average, but he's not Justin Jefferson, Tyreek Hill, Ja'Marr Chase. Like, what's your take on the Ayuk situation as a whole?
The Brandon Ayuk thing is, as far as evaluating a player, I don't know if there's been a more complicated guy to evaluate. So he balls out in college, gets drafted early, and immediately goes into Kyle Shanahan's doghouse because he doesn't know the playbook, not the most reliable hands, and so route running, right? Coming out of college, he more so run off of athleticism. And those first 2 years, he really kind of just put himself into a hole. Now, these past 2 years, especially this most recent one, he's been unrecognizable to the rookie version of him. He has developed a detailed and complex route tree seemingly overnight. From year two to year three, it was like, he kind of has some tricks to his trade here. And then last year, I would put his route running only beneath maybe Stephon Diggs and Davante Adams. So what makes it so complicated is if you're the 49ers, you're saying, you're the guy who we couldn't even put out on the field in the first 2 years because you didn't study your playbook. And Brandon Ayuk is saying, dude, I'm one of the best route runners in the game. I'm a big physical body. I'm the physicality of Debo Samuel with the route running. So that's where I feel the impasse comes. But I expect a trade sooner rather than later, and I expect him to thrive wherever he does land at.
See, you nailed the quandary that the 49ers are in because he's just 26 and he's blossoming into what could be a wide receiver one. But, some of the off the field, some of the social media stuff has been I think you laid it out perfectly. It's a weird situation. Okay, I'll move on from that. But great answer. Brock Vereen joining us. Let's get to the Big Ten. Do you feel, and the favorite to win the Big Ten, it's Ohio State this year, not the defending champs in Michigan. Do you feel there's some pressure on Ryan Day? And do you feel as though they should be the big-time favorite here in the Big Ten?
They should absolutely be the favorite, even if they didn't hit the transfer portal as hard as they did and basically land the top however many guys in there. Even if they didn't land them, I would still put them as the favorite in the Big Ten. As far as pressure goes, look, the Ohio State fan base is a bunch of psychos. That's why you love it. That's why you love football, because of people like that. There's a legitimate scenario where Ryan Day loses to Michigan but wins every other game and loses the national championship and gets fired, right? If he beats Michigan and loses in the Natty, he's fine. If he loses to Michigan and loses in the Natty, he might be gone because the Buckeyes are just crazy and they do insane things. Now, if you're Ryan Day, you're going to get a nice payday and you're going to have a job wherever you want in the NFL or college football or on a news desk somewhere. So, I mean, it's not like you got to feel bad for him, but I really doubt there are many coaches that envy his situation. Ohio State is just desperate for the championship that's evaded them since Urban Meyer left, and they are desperate to not lose for the fourth consecutive time to Michigan. So I don't know if there's ever been a team that is so primed for a national championship while having their coach somewhat on a hot seat.
Brock, Ohio State the favorite, obviously plus 155 to win the Big Ten. The second shot on the board is a newcomer, Oregon. You're a West Coast guy. You're familiar with them and their style of play that was in the Pac-12. Is Oregon built to hit the ground running year one in this new style of the Big Ten?
Absolutely. They absolutely are. And why Dan Lanning had so much success immediately is because he basically followed the Utah blueprint, right? Utah, RIP, the Pac-12, Utah was always in contention for the Pac-12 championship because they said, hey, we're just going to focus on defense, and if we can run the ball, yeah, if we can pass the ball, that's fine, but we're not really worried about doing that. And when you think Oregon, you think jerseys, you think Nike, and the majority of America still thinks Chip Kelly because the college football that you see now, offensively speaking, is because of Chip Kelly. He changed how offenses are run in college football, but that's not what they do. I don't know if there's a bigger disconnect or misconception in what a team actually does and what teams think they do. So Oregon is absolutely primed to succeed in the Big Ten because they care about defense. They are perfectly fine throwing the ball 20 times a game and running it a million times. And that type of play translates very well to the Colts. Oregon is going to be fine. That regular season matchup between Oregon and Ohio State probably doesn't matter because regardless of who loses, I expect both of them to meet in the Big Ten championship anyways. But there is absolutely nothing to worry about Oregon. They are physical. They are violent. Dan Lanning spent many years as a Georgia assistant, and he brought that style of football to the West Coast. It's just the fact that they were in the Pac-12 that people are convinced that they play a style of football that they actually don't.
Our buddy Brock Vereen, of course, Big Ten Network, College Football, CBS Sports Network, NFL analyst at Brock Vereen. So James Franklin in Penn State. Obviously, Drew Aller, the team's loaded. Third betting favorite in the Big Ten. Let me ask you this question, Brock. Is this Penn State team a potential playoff team? Remember, 12 teams. What do you think?
I don't think so. I don't. And it kills me to say because James Franklin is another guy who's, in comparison to the Ryan Day situation, much more diluted, much less pressure. But he works for a fan base that he has basically guaranteed 10 wins to for the past decade. And it's not good enough for them because Penn State fans are convinced that there's some perennial national championship powerhouse, which they have never been. I could go on and on about Penn State fans. But the fact is, I see them taking a step in the wrong direction. That defense lost quite a bit, although they have my favorite defensive player maybe in Abdul Carter, who is a monster, who will be a first-round pick. He wears number 11. He's following the pass of every other defender that's with number 11 there. They have the running backs, maybe the second-best running back room with Catron Allen and Nick Singleton, who I would only put behind Ohio State's running back room with Travion Henderson and the transfer in Quinshon Judkins. But if they can't dominate running the football, which at times they struggled to during the year, I don't the receivers nor the quarterback needed to where if they enter a game and a defense says you're not running the football, I can't see how Penn State can confidently win that game. Their defense will win plenty of games for them, and they don't play Ohio State this year. I know that, yes, I don't think they play Ohio State this year, which helps. They're going to lose to Michigan, and I see them losing to any of the top teams in the Big Ten that you would consider AP-ranked teams. I see them taking a step backward this year, and Penn State will have to decide if they appreciate James Franklin or not at the end of the year.
Fade the Nittany Lions. Music to my ears. Brock Vereen, Big Ten Network College Football, CBS Sports Network, NFL analyst. We're going to call you the gentleman. You can find him at Brock Vereen on Twitter. We look forward to talking to you during the year, Brock. Thank you very much for the time.
Anytime, guys. Can't wait for some football.
I know. We can't wait either. Thank you very much. It is an exciting... I'm not being facetious. Like, we've had many conversations off the air where you go to a former athlete and now obviously a media pundit in Brock, and they literally give you one-word answers. He's like, hey, man, how you doing? How do you like living in Hermosa? Hey, Dustin, how's it going? Are you Vegas-based? Like, kind dude. You like to see it.
Yeah, he's just a different cat, man. He could do anything. He just chooses to cover football. He'd be successful anywhere.
He's built differently. We'll get you an update on USA Brazil, checking on our props. We also have those backup, not necessarily the backups, but the quarterback pricing for a few teams, including Pittsburgh, including the Raiders. You know, Lombardi was saying that Aiden O'Connell, kind of the leader in the clubhouse, but the reports coming out of Raider camp that Gardner Minshew is clowning him on the field. And Gardner Minshew right now to take that first snap is plus money. I want to discuss with the big guy and you as we continue. Sharp Money, it's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Okay, we have a final in Paris, United States, and Brazil. We'll get you that in a second. Look, it's a new era here with the Musburger Media reacquisition of VSiN, Steve Cohen in the house. So it's a very exciting time. And because of it, we're feeling benevolent. So we're giving you 3 years of VSiN Pro Access, 75% off, $350. It's a freaking great deal. By the way, if you are already an existing subscriber, here's all you need to do because you can get this deal. Just email us, subscribe@vsin.com. The rest of you that haven't signed up yet, go to vsin.com/special. Okay? So we're celebrating. I think it's kind of kismet as we enter a new era, 3.0 of VSiN with new leadership and the reacquisition heading into football season. Feels like the best time to be a part of VSiN. Huh? What do you think? Sharp Money, I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles. The big guy, Dustin Sweetelson. A quick final there in Paris with the United States. No drama as far as the win, straight up, straight down. However, did they cover the number? What did we get with the United States?
The final score, 122-87. They covered the number.
So that is a cover. And again, that pre-dribble. 26.5. Now to the props. You got your BAM 4.5 over. Did we see another minute from LeBron?
We did not. He ended at 9-3, gave you 12. You got hooked, my friend. By the way, the song The Hook, listening to it on my vacation while we were away, maybe one of the most underrated songs ever written. It is literally about the lyrics to the song.
Okay, donkey. Samich, do you see what Samich just sent us?
No, let's see.
Okay, so we've been following along with this Ayuk drama. This is kind of classic. So Christian McCaffrey's at camp, but he's banged up. Shocker. What's new? Most touches out of anybody in football last year. Christian McCaffrey perpetually injured. That's part of the reason I'm down on the 49ers this year. I don't expect the attrition. I don't expect the health to continue. This is a shout out to our partner, Mike Samich, who just sent this video. So McCaffrey chilling. He's got time. He sits down with NFL Network. All right. He's talking to a couple of donks. It looks like one is Chris Rose. Definitely donk. Anyway, he's talking to a couple of these donks, and they ask him about Brandon Ayuk. And you know what he said? Former teammate.
Mm.
Whoops. I meant teammate. So just to be clear, Christian McCaffrey's talking about Brandon Ayuk in the past tense and then cleaned it up and was like, I meant teammate. Listen, go back to Shorty that you just got married to and try to figure this out. All right? This is PR 101. Kristen Coppola. Did she get married to Francis Ford Coppola's daughter?
Coppo.
This is Coppo, whatever. I don't stalk Insta like you do. This is PR 101. Before you sit down, probably don't want to tip the hand that he's your former teammate. Because last time I checked, Brandon Ayuk is a 49er.
Yeah, that feels like it's inevitable. It is happening. There is no chance of going back anymore. He will be Brandon Ayuk on another team before maybe the end of the day. Maybe before the end of our show. We only have 42 minutes left.
That is a good assist by Samich while my teammate was breaking down lyrics from some song I've never heard of. So I don't know what you want to say for yourself.
You've heard of The Hook. Blues Traveler, The Hook.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I don't care and I don't mind. So you've heard of Antonio Pierce. You know, our buddy Cohen, who's running the network, is a big Raiders fan. Can't be thrilled with the hire. Seems a little Raidery. And I'm taking a look at the market right now. And 6.5 win total. There are a lot of vets on that team. A lot of top-end talent on this Raiders team. But I mentioned vets. And I think that's important to note when talking about who is going to play week one and take the first snap of the year. Aiden O'Connell, now our very own Michael Lombardi, has got some intel. Of course, his son's coached there last year, so he knows the Raiders. He worked for the Raiders. And he's hearing that Aiden O'Connell is a leader in the locker room. Now, Minshew's a bit of a different cat. He lives in a van.
Down by the river.
But take a look at the number. You're going to hear from Antonio Pierce in a second. Take a look at the number. I got to be honest with you. I think plus money on Minshew to be the week one starter because of those vets, to satiate those vets. He did well with Indy last year. He is proven. O'Connell is not. And the reports out of camp, Minshew's just playing better. So I kind of like the idea of taking a shot with Minshew here at plus 105.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on here. We saw enough of Aiden O'Connell to know what he is and what he isn't. What he isn't is a starter in the NFL of a team that wants to win. And that's a big thing for the Raiders this year. They want to win. They want to continue on the momentum of Antonio Pierce taking over for Josh McDaniels a year ago. I don't see any world where a guy you paid $25 million over 2 years in Gardner Minshew doesn't end up being your guy. He almost got the Colts to the playoffs. That's why you went out and got him, because there wasn't a bigger name to go get. You believe he's good enough with what you have on this roster. Pierce should be able to get the defense to play better. You have a number one option in Adams. Like, go with the guy who can take you to the playoffs. Aiden O'Connell ain't it. That guy cannot sling the rock.
Who are we going to hear from?
Let's hear from Antonio Pierce, who had this to say about the quarterback battle right now here in Vegas.
No, I don't think we sit there and say somebody's won yet. I think they both had good moments. I'll go back. I think Gardner's had, several days now where he's made some plays, but then there's also some turnovers that show up that we don't want to have happen as well. And again, when I look at Aiden, I see a guy that's, throwing the ball accurate. I see some drops by our wide receivers. And I don't think it's just on the quarterbacks. I think overall our offensive play has to pick up sense of urgency, wide receivers, O-line, just all those guys. Again, go back to the very beginning of my opening statement of training camp. They're going against a very good defense. And I think they're feeling that, and I think it's good for our team, the competition part. But obviously somebody, again, has to just step up. And we're getting closer and closer, and obviously we're getting the game week mode a little bit as we get later in the week.
Okay, that is a great clip by the big guy, and I'm going to tell you why. And this is the type of information as a bettor. Again, we're in the weeds, but this is information as a bettor you need to pay attention to. And why? Aiden O'Connell's minus 130 to win the starting job for the Raiders. The head coach just told you he wants Aiden O'Connell to win the starting job. What did you hear? Said Minshew's had a couple of good days. However, he struggled a little bit. Aiden O'Connell struggled a little bit, but some wide receiver drops.
Excuses.
So he took attention away from Minshew and made excuses for O'Connell. That tells me the organization wants O'Connell. I like that clip.
He's biased.
I'm just reading into the words.
Look, he's biased, but he's allowed to be biased because there's a lot on the line for Antonio Pierce. It's one thing. This is something I've really been obsessed with this situation. It's really easy to be the opposite of Josh McDaniels a year ago. Come in, make the locker room fun again, smoke cigars, blast the music, be a friend of all these guys that you're coaching. It's another thing now to start over from scratch. It's not about just working with what you got. It's building this team, molding it to your mentality. And now the pressure's on for Antonio Pierce to prove he was worthy of being the head coach of this franchise. So for him, he's got to go with who he feels gives him the best chance to win. I don't understand, based on what I saw from Aiden O'Connell, how that's the guy. He threw for under 100 yards a couple times last year in full starts. He's just not special. He can't get rid of the football. Devontae Adams will demand a trade by week 4 if he's the starter.
Or as you say, he can't sling the rock.
Nope.
However, as you know, big guy, Pierce, if he's being honest, he'd prefer the vet.
Well,
but this is an organizational decision.
He should, but maybe the way that clip sounds, I'm thinking they're not on the same page, which, shocker, it's the Raiders, right? They're not on the same page. The vibe I got was maybe he never wanted Minshew. Maybe he always wanted O'Connell, because that's a guy who's just like, nope, this guy's here, and you heard the bias. You heard the excuse. Well, that's because of drops. He wants Aiden O'Connell. That's a mistake.
Yeah, I heard it. That he was correct. He was self-correcting,
yes,
in his statement, which was leaning towards the -130 favorite and Aiden O'Connell. All right. Yeah, there's some. Look, you just mentioned Devontae Adams. How many receivers do we have to name to where you get to? Like, because he's almost slept on. He's so good. And if you see Devontae Adams in person, it's really where all of a sudden you're like, oh, he's a Hall of Famer. Tyreek Hill, Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase, and then once you get past 3, you can start having the Adams conversation. Am I missing somebody big?
No. He's in the 3 to 4 range, somewhere in that range. But you can make the case number 1, by the way. I guess with Devontae, it feels like Randy Moss with the Raiders, where the quarterback play could be so bad, we could be wasting the prime of a legend, like a future Hall of Famer here, if you let Aiden O'Connell be the one to throw him the football.
You're right. I do know that song. Body, yo. No. Why you want to give me the run around?
That's their other song.
It's a surefire way to speed things up. Eric Lindquist is next with some baseball plays for tonight. Hey.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Hey, Sharp Money, VSIN, the sports betting network. As we welcome you back, we've got the family plays coming up in just a bit. More baseball on the way out. But right now, we're going to bring in one of the sharpest around, odds shopper betting analyst Eric Lindquist. You can find Eric on Twitter at Eric Lindquist with a C. And as we say, hi, it's nice to see you again. Progressive Guest Line brings you, Eric. Good to see you, Eric. I want to start with the baseball, then we'll kind of close out with some of the football. We're going to start with a matchup we were discussing a little bit earlier, the O's and the J's. And we'll start with a prop on Grayson Rodriguez under 17.5 outs at plus money.
Yeah, this is kind of a weird way to start off a card or start off a discussion, but there's a number of things. This is a market I generally don't tap into very often, but he's made 20 starts this season. He's gone under this in just 8 of them. So 40% of the time, we have plus 146 for a number. That's an implied probability around 41%. So that seemed pretty efficient, but you got Rodriguez facing the Blue Jays for a second straight timeout. You also have Grayson Rodriguez with a fully stacked Baltimore bullpen, considering they didn't have to pitch on Monday. So it's kind of two things that are really pushing this number over the top for me. I'd be playing this anything better than plus 130 and plus 146 best available over at FanDuel. I think that that's a really, really solid positive EV play to get it going.
Okay, I want to give you a conventional question for your second question, and that is, as you know, the Chicago White Sox tied the AL mark of 21 straight losses last night. Now, all I'm saying, Eric, is hear me out. It is Ross Stripling. Those are human beings that don't want to be a part of history on that side. There's still dudes in that White Sox clubhouse that don't want to make history that way. You can find plus 195 on the White Sox, and the A's and Stripling are laying $2.18. I'm just saying, can we take a shot with the White Sox here to break this, the snap the streak?
I don't know. I mean, this is truly like it's a numbers game with this one, because this thing could have gotten, it could have been yours inside of minus 180 last night. It's just gotten completely steamed up to a place where it's basically White Sox or pass for me. I don't know if I have the nerve to be able to click that button. Maybe somebody else does. But as it stands right now, I mean, this is a team that's in complete free fall. And it's not just that they got rid of Pham and Jimenez, but also Michael Kopech. This bullpen is just so thin. Not that Kopech was having a great year by any means, but he's got arm talent. We've seen him be one of the better relievers in baseball in recent years, but it is just so brutal watching this White Sox lineup roll in. I think that that's kind of the thing that's kept me away from actually pulling the trigger at some of these gigantic White Sox numbers, is realizing how bad this lineup is on a day-in, day-out basis. Worst in baseball against righties by a marked range. 71 WRC plus on the season, and it's not going to get a whole heck of a lot better.
Okay. Well, I'm going to be the one. I just want you to know, I am brave enough to play the White Sox. It has to get snapped at some point. I want to ask you this, Eric, and as somebody that does this for a living, odd shopper, betting analyst, Eric Lindquist joining us. When you look at your splits as far as betting percentages, side total in baseball and props, how would you measure those at this point?
That's a great question, and not one that I get asked a whole heck of a lot. I can tell you my ROI is much higher on props than what it's going to be for games totals. We've seen some extreme movement. We'll talk about probably at the Cincinnati point in time where the public will run with a number. And I think that that's kind of what you were alluding to here with the White Sox, too, is you start to get these outlier numbers where if you are comfortable being able to click that and you can find that to be positive EV, you're getting a pretty good number there, plus 195 in those kind of spots. But going through my ROI at the end of every single year, it's like 2-3% that I'm going to probably be running into for totals and props. You know, it can range depending on the sport. Basketball, generally going to be sitting north of the 10%, 8% number year in, year out basis. Baseball, a lot more difficult, but you get such a larger sample size of bets. And so that's really what it comes down to, is identifying the edges. And I would say, just off the top of my head, it'd be something around 80% props for me, 20% sides and totals. But I think that it really just depends on a day-by-day basis. Today is one of those where it plays out to that exact type of ratio. But for me, I think the prop market is always one that you can identify with individuals, some edges, some, especially in the basketball streets, but NFL streets coming up here soon. But in MLB, I think you're really, really trying to just get as many bets over the course of a season down as possible, and living with the result of those, and just simply maybe limiting your bankroll size towards those sides and total sides where you might not have as pronounced of edges, for sure.
No, that's actually exactly the answer. Somebody that's dived so deeply in the numbers, an old man like me, where I've seen this kind of proliferation of prop betting, where back in the day it was essentially you're betting sides and totals, and it just feels like every single year there's so many inefficiencies, specifically in basketball, as you mentioned, in the prop market, and you mentioned maybe 80%-ish in baseball. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about a side that you're on, and that is Cincinnati mm-hmm. tonight. A money line, $1.35. You're also going to lay the run line at plus 125.
I am. I'm going to be splitting exposure on this one. So it's an interesting line movement that we had overnight in this one. And I had to reach over to Dustin because I just didn't quite understand what I was looking at. I thought maybe I was seeing something incorrectly there. I would assume the public money is going to be on the Lodolo side, but this line has just crashed. Minus 160 at open, dropping inside of minus 140, minus 135 here on the money line side of things, getting a plus number still on the run line here. I'm going to be splitting exposure purely because I don't see any reason that Max Meyer should be getting this kind of, or sorry, Michael Meyer. That's correct there. This Meyer character from Miami should be getting this kind of respect going up against Nick Lodolo. You work through Lodolo. I think he's got one of the best curveballs balls that I've graded out in a long time. 3.53 expected ERA, but a 4 ERA. This is a major ballpark upgrade going into Miami. Cincinnati, they've been really, really pungent, terrible against righties here over the last 30 days, but it's starting to track. Obviously, a great day yesterday, and a lineup that I just find to be extremely, feast or famine at times, as opposed to Miami, that's just going to be famine going forward. I know that they had a decent enough series, finding a couple two-run shots there in Atlanta, but Jake Berger, Jonah Bride, Otto Lopez, Jesus Sanchez, I mean, there's like maybe 1.5 major leaguers out of that top five that they have going up there. Xavier Edwards, all right, but no hard hit whatsoever. I just think Cincinnati is undervalued in this spot. No idea why the market came in crashing with money here on Miami, or appears to have crashed in with money on Miami. But I'm going to be taking the Cincinnati side, which I thought would be the public side.
Okay, Eric, I'm going to ask you one more baseball, then I want to close with one football play. Margot, we'd like to see the plus money here, plus 185, to not record a hit tonight.
Yeah, this is, you talk about props that don't necessarily ring off the top of people's heads. They love the over total bases. They love the home runs. How about an under on a hit for Manuel Margot here? It just truly comes down to pinch hit risk here. You're going into a game environment with a 6.5 total, now heavily juiced, minus 125 on that under of 6.5. And you have Larnach and you have Matt Wallner on the bench. Two lefties that there's a Chicago pen that's just littered with righties that at some point in time, you could be getting Manuel Margot getting ripped off the field immediately. Massive splits for him. He's basically utilized as a platoon guy at this point in time for my Minnesota Twins. And this just makes all the sense and all the land in this game environment to be getting plus 185 on potentially. I'm just projecting him for 2.5 at bats. I can't go up to 3. I'm not going to go up to 4. I know 3 seems like a pretty likely outcome considering Shohei Minaga lefty out there and the total that we have before us, but Manuel Margot, there is so much pinch hit risk for him at the top of this lineup. Things would really have to play towards an outlier game script, an 8, 9, 10 total to really have this number get to a place where Manuel go. It's going to be a close game, and so as such, plus 185 on him to not record a hit, I think, is very, very positive EV today.
Dustin was smiling during your answer, and I know why. Forget about the bet. The explanation and the process is what you should be focusing on. And his explanation as to why Margot doesn't record a hit tonight is exactly what we're looking for. You see the clock, just 1.5 minutes. Steelers off discuss, quarterback questions. You like the Steelers under 8.5 wins.
Yeah, and I know Tomlin's a guy that everybody wants to back. Oh, he's never had a losing season. Well, he's going to have one this year with the quarterback room that he has. Justin Fields sounds like he's making some impressive plays in practice. Well, I think he made impressive plays on the field at times with the Chicago Bears, and it didn't necessarily matter. Extremely inefficient. And Russell Wilson, there's nothing we've seen from him over the last 2 years that should breed any kind of excitement if you're a Steelers fan. So, hey, if you're a Steelers fan, you should at least make some money in the process here. Defensively, you're still going to be stout. You're still going to be able to try to establish the run at times with your two-headed backfield, but I just don't see a lot of hope here for the Steelers in this division in the AFC, that it's just an absolute gauntlet and a schedule that's pretty wild to me as well. Really tough coming down the stretch for the meeker people. You could definitely find some hedge opportunities coming down to the end of that year for sure.
Keep your phone on. That's the analysis we need. We're going to be using you during the football season. You can find Eric Lindquist, Odd Shopper betting analyst, and also on Twitter at Eric Lindquist. Thank you, Eric. Appreciate the time. Great job.
Thanks, Patrick. Appreciate you.
Oh, you got it, buddy. That breakdown of Margot is, I think it's important to go back and listen to that, because it's the extrapolation is really what you're looking for. Look, it's a plus 185 dart. So the odds tell you it's not going to hit, but the justification tells you why it's worth a shot. And that's literally what this is about. We've got more family plays, and the big guy and I have more baseball plays. Coming back, Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Okay, Sharp Money, VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. I like that guy. We just had Eric Lindquist on and Dustin Sweetelson live downtown Las Vegas at the D. I'm Patrick Maher live from Los Angeles. Again, If you're looking at a prop that's sitting and priced at plus 185, the number tells you most likely it's not going to win. But then you have to listen. You're going to hear so many people handicapping that say, I like this team. I like their splits against lefties, whatever it is, right? And I'm not saying that's wrong as a handicapper. What I am saying is when you start talking about when Lindquist broke down his Margot not getting a hit tonight, and you can go back at vsin.com and listen to his justification, that's when that plus 185 becomes a worthy price. You're not most likely not going to hit, but the justification tells you a numbers game. That's when you fire. And I just, again, we're going to use that guy more coming up on the program. Okay, big guy. We do have family plays. We do have tabs to close. I'm just trying to think if there's anything in real time happening. We told you the U.S. women's national team got a 95th minute goal in extras to advance to the gold round, so the gold medal game. And I'm looking to see it's Brazil or Spain. Hold on. Brazil.
I thought Brazil was up 1-0 last I saw.
Those are two. I mean, they're monsters. Let me just see. Here it is. Brazil won 4-2. So the U.S. women's national team is going to be taking on Brazil. Oh, juicy.
Are you torn?
Well, okay. I am USA ride or die. These colors don't run.
Mm.
Don't tread on me. Mm. How do I say this tactfully? I really like the atmosphere of Brazil.
Yeah.
I like the aesthetics. You understand?
The curvatures of the country of Brazil.
The topography.
It varies.
It does. Let's get to our fine. Well, actually, we have two family plays to get to. All right, so let's get to those. Let's get some bets in here.
All right, let's roll with the plus money prince. You know him. Aaron Halterman, RacingDudes.com. Oh, we do not have Aaron Halterman. Bobby Stanley Jr. Bobby Stanley Jr. has a NFL future for you when it comes to his family play. You know him from his Discord, the Prop Shop. And Bobby Stanley Jr., here he is with his Sharp Money family play for today.
Bob Stanley here with Sharp Money, giving you some NFL futures to consider as we head into prime training camp season for the NFL. I'm looking at the Offensive Rookie of the Year award, and no, I'm not on Caleb Williams at plus 135. There's no value in that. There's a ton of hype on the Chicago Bears. I want to go down that list behind Jaden McDaniels, behind Marvin Harrison Jr., behind Malik Nabers. I like Bo Nix at 17-1 over on BetMGM to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. I look at Bo Nix at the 12th pick overall in the draft. Yes, the official depth chart just came out today. A few minutes ago, actually, he is third on the depth chart. There is no surprise with Sean Payton. He puts all his rookies on the 13th. He is minus 200 to start week one. I'm getting a quarterback on a team with no expectations whatsoever at 17-1 for Offensive Rookie of the Year. I've been watching some training camp footage of him. He's checking down at the line of scrimmage. He's starting to pick up the offense. He has a connection going with Cortland Sutton. If I look at Kyler Murray, who won this award a few years ago, he went 5-11, I think, his rookie year. He had 22 touchdowns, 12 interceptions, and he got four rushing on the ground. I think that's what it's going to take from Bo Nix. Maybe he gets this Denver Broncos team to a 7-10 record, exceeding expectations, but he can make plays with his legs. He's going to start week one, and we're getting 17-1 on a quarterback in what seems to be a quarterback award. A quarterback has won in four of the last eight seasons. Put in Bo Nix for Offensive Rookie of the Year at 17-1 and enjoy the rest of the regular season.
Bobby Stanley does a great job, has been part of the team for a while now. I don't know if it's propaganda out of Broncos camp, but they're treating Bo Nix like he's Peyton Manning. Though Peyton Manning did throw 28 picks in his rookie year.
Okay, a couple things on that. Jared Stidham was plus 650 2 weeks ago to be the first quarterback to take a snap for the Broncos. That has shortened up a ton here. Still minus $2 on Bo Nix as the favorite, but there's a lot of work for Bo Nix to do to get ready for the NFL speed. He had a lot of easy throws his last couple years at Oregon. That system was awesome. And I remember a few years ago, you and I were covering Jared Stidham for some reason. We did like a deep dive on him. There was a reason all these NFL teams love and want Jared Stidham on his roster. Former like four-star recruit, Baylor and Auburn. He has a lot of skills that make sense. He's not a superstar. He's not really a starter. He's kind of an in-betweener, but there's a reason why he's a backup these teams want.
Okay, well, Bo Nix, you can see the number quarterback to play week one, take the first snap. He's a $2 favorite to be the starter, the rookie for the Denver Broncos. So again, propaganda coming out of Broncos camp. Not a ton of expectations on the season. Now, speaking of expectations, and you know for a fact that I hate to do this because I don't like tension and I don't like... I'm your biggest fan.
I know.
And, like, for example, I'll just say this. Yesterday, we had an issue with Mike Somich's, and Mike Somich is a partner of ours, and so is Aaron Halterman. And yesterday, we had a problem with the Somich video. Now, again, I hate to do this.
I didn't.
But Aaron Halterman sent us over his family video today. And I'm ready to play that right now. What do you think?
Yeah, I know what you're doing here. There is no Halterman video, and actually, this is also Mike Somich's fault.
Okay, please tell.
So, Aaron Halterman was the first one to send me a video. I load it into the system. Mike Somich sends his video a few hours later, and there was an issue with Somich's video. The sound wasn't matching his face, the way his mouth moved. And I think when I went back and deleted Somich's video, I also deleted Halterman's, which was the first one that was loaded today. So while I am partially at fault here because I made a mistake, it's also partially Mike Somich's fault as well today.
Now I'm not joking. Have you literally ever just said I messed up?
No.
Like, you're 40 years old, bro. What your explanation makes no sense as to why you botched it.
Yeah, no, I messed up. For sure.
But it has nothing to do with... You're blaming Somich. You just messed up. You weren't on top of things.
No, but you're acting like I messed up yesterday, and we established on the show I didn't mess up yesterday. This is just...
Okay, but why? No, but today you messed this up. Like, that explanation was horrific. Like a child. Like, just say, dude, I erased the video. My bad.
I erased the video. My bad. But if Somich had sent the correct video, it never would have gotten erased by mistake. Let's just establish one mistake for the week. It was today. There were no mistakes yesterday.
Do you at least want to apologize to Halterman, who's watching right now?
Aaron, I'm sorry. I screwed this up. The pick was entered on VSiN.com/picks if you'd like his pick. I think it's a great pick.
What is the pick? Let's give it out.
He is on the San Francisco Giants full game, -120, at the Washington Nationals.
I just don't even understand what it was like, because you're 40 now, what it was like for your parents trying to punish you or help you get better, and you just had an excuse for everything.
No, I just didn't make mistakes. That's the problem. I'm not used to making mistakes. It's so rare that I don't know how to react to them.
See, here's what people think. People think I'm doing shtick right now, but it is almost palpable, the anger coming through the TV. But understand what I'm trying to say. He messed up. He's mad at me. Like, on what matrix of a world does it... Look at it. Look at his face. That's a fake smile. When he gets uncomfortable, he fake smiles. On what planet is it my fault that you botched it? I'm fighting for my career here.
No, but look, I have to come into every day and calculate that if I make a mistake, it's not going to be glossed over. It's not going to be ignored. It's going to be called out by you. So I have to be ready for that.
Okay, fair enough. Did I botch anything over the last 3 hours?
No, there's nothing.
So tomorrow, if I do, feel free to call me out. You botched it.
All right,
let's close some tabs.
All right, so the lyrics to "The Hook" by Blues Traveler. just bear with me. This is so up your alley. This is how the song starts. It doesn't matter what I say, so long as I sing with inflection that makes you feel I'll convey some inner truth or vast reflection. But I've said nothing so far, and I can keep it up for as long as it takes. They tell me that's not brilliant lyrics. The whole song is about the lyrics to the
song.
That's
literally talking about you deleting the video. What's next?
Similar to this segment, it reminds me of something that happened on this day in history. On this day in 1945, the atom bomb was dropped on Hiroshima, and it feels like this segment in a lot of ways.
Shout to... Who was the man that made the decision?
Oppenheimer.
Harry Truman.
S. Doesn't Close. Stand for anything.
Oppenheimer, by the way, vastly overrated movie.
I was bored out of my mind.
Completely bored, and that's my wheelhouse.
It's one of the most interesting things to happen on Earth, and I was bored.
Hey, you did a great job today. I'll see you tomorrow. Sharp money.